Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, outside the box with and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy, hectic day to tune into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined with Sherry Pang, and we're just going to kind of go off the cuff tonight and talk about whatever pops in our brains. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Jason. I hope you're feeling better. My gosh, it sounds like we missed you. First of all, we've missed you last week. And I hope that whatever is going on with you, we'll find out and wish the best. I mean, oh my gosh, it's horrible.
Yeah, who knows? I may be dying. Maybe the government's poisoning me. So basically, just to fill everybody in. A couple weeks ago, I had no appetite, and eating anything would make me feel nauseous, and then I had a couple other symptoms that I knew immediately it was my liver. I was like, oh, Lord. Now, a year and a half ago, I was a drinker for many years. I quit. I haven't drank in 10 years, but I knew what was happening. It was my liver, so I got checked out. And, you know, my blood works okay, except for my liver enzymes. And I'm not just talking high, like ridiculously high. Like the values for the liver were so high that the laboratory actually had to dilute my serum to verify that it was correct. I mean, ridiculous. So, oh, Lord, I don't know. We don't know what it is. But I'm going to redo my blood.
Oh, my God.
On Tuesday, and if the values are going down, then it's just kind of a wait, watch kind of thing. If they're not, then I'll have to go see a liver specialist. It could really be anything. None of it's good. My possibilities, what would cause this, aren't good, because the most common causes are your hepatitises, which I don't have. So everything else is bad. So the question is, how bad is it going to be? So we'll see.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah, well, you know, that's life.
Have you been working?
No, I haven't worked in a couple of weeks. I just haven't been feeling good. I'm actually able to eat now, and I feel relatively normal. I still get this liver pain. But, you know, I think this has been going on for a while, because for the last couple of years I've been getting liver area pain, and I just assumed it was my gallbladder, because that's the most common thing. It's not my gallbladder. So I don't know. It's really odd. Hopefully it's not like, you know, liver cancer or something like that. But, you know, if it is, it is. And what can you do? I haven't turned yellow, though, which is a good sign.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Don't do that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Oh, geez.
Okay.
Well,
what can you do?
Well, we'll have to do a session. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really odd, you know. I don't drink. I don't use herbal supplements. My diet hasn't changed. I mean, nothing has changed. So I'm either having some sort of weird acute thing or somebody's poisoning me. Maybe the government got tired of Paranormal Horizons and they've figured out a way to kill my liver. Who knows? I mean, that might be kind of a stretch, though.
Yeah, that might be. That's more like a stretch. I don't know. I mean, there's something going on. We have to figure it out. But once, after, you know, when things are, you get your, get your count, you're getting your stats in this week, aren't you? You're going to get some information about it?
Yeah. I'll redo my blood on Tuesday, see where their numbers are. Hopefully they're falling. If not, that would be kind of scary, but I'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. I'm kind of nervous about it, too. I don't like the anticipation. I'm the type of person that wants to know now, you know, not have to wait.
Right. And why is it the, you know, what is it usually? It takes so long for the, is it because a lot of times they have to wait until the, is it actually, are they backlogged or is it because, you know, there's a time that they have to wait for it to, you know, whatever, you know, it takes a long time for it to work, you know, get the results.
Yeah, in some cases that's the case. Yeah, it's basically giving it just some more time to see if it settles down, you know, if it's some sort of acute process, just seeing if it gets better. Fortunately for me, I work in a medical laboratory, so doing these tests, you know, I have orders for them, so I'll just go get my blood drawn at work and I'll just have it run at work so I can get a result in 20 minutes, you know, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on you and see what's going on, and I'd be more than happy to do a quick scan to find out what's happening. Yeah. Definitely. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let's, on a brighter note, what's going on? You were talking about something, I saw your post, that you were going to mention about.
Yeah, so interesting. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this. Some forest, I don't know, BLM, Forest Service guys were flying a helicopter in Utah, you know, just surveying the area. And mind you, where they were at is like literally in the middle of the nowhere. So they're flying around and one of them sees something in this, it's kind of this crevasse or tiny little canyon area. And they go down there to check it out. And it's a 12-foot tall metallic obelisk, kind of reminiscent of the movie 2001. And so they were kind of blown. I mean, this is the middle of nowhere. So who knows what it is? I'd like to say aliens. It's probably not. Several theories have gone around on what this metal obelisk could be. Apparently, they were filming the show or movie or something called Westwood not far from there. So they may have thought that those people set somebody up or set that up. And then there were some people that thought that it was maybe just like this artist thing and stuff like that. But interestingly, it's been removed, and nobody knows. I mean, it's disappeared as soon as it showed up. There's evidence that it was there, but it's gone now. So a lot of people did some work because the government wasn't giving people the location of it, but some savvy people went and got a hold of the flight plan for the helicopter that initially spotted it, and they were able to track it down. So it was gaining a lot of attention. But it's gone now, and the only thing left there is, I think, a piece of metal and the area where it was mounted into the ground. But very strange. Is it paranormal? Aliens? Probably not, but it's kind of an interesting story that appeared within the last week.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, good to hear about that. It's really refreshing to know that there's different things happening along the world. And there's been witnesses on that, I take it, right?
Well, it's very well documented that it was there. There's photos you can look online. It looks like a 12-foot tall triangular obelisk, but it's gone now. There's some good photos. Very interesting. Probably not aliens.
Wow.
It was probably My personal guess is it had nothing to do with the TV show or whatever that was shot there. I think it was basically, you know, some within. I think it had been there for several years, and it was probably like an artist kind of thing, like, hey, let's do this, and so it got a lot of attention. So very interesting.
Wow, that's awesome! Jeez. So things can happen. We don't know. It's pretty interesting how they can appear and then they could disappear. And there's a lot of theories of whether it's true or what it could be, like you said. But let's put it this way: in my own mind, anything is possible. Anything.
Well, yes, and in the world of disinformation, the information that I've researched on this could be disinformation. You know, I'm sure the government, if it's alien-related, isn't going to say, hey, it's alien-related. They're going to come up with all sorts of backstories and explanations. I'm hoping that it's not a marker for an impending alien invasion, but who knows?
Oh, wow. Jeez. Well, I don't know about you, but at night after I'm done, I've been busy with readings and making jewelry and making some jewelry to sell, but also giving away as gifts. But in between that and readings, last night I got, not last night, but the night before, I don't know if you ever heard of that show on Travel Channel. It's on the Travel Channel. It's called Paranormal. Real or not, caught on tape, and it was very interesting. It had like a marathon, had like 3-4 hours, and you know, here I am, you know, just trying to just relax and things like that. And it was very interesting that people would go and submit their videos. Hi, my name is like say Jason Ophir, and I caught this on with my own camera. That's what they'll say, and then they'll go with the backstory on the picture. You know, hey, I saw, you know, UFO lights and blah, blah, blah. Here's my shot. So they'll have so-called experts, whether they're in the UFO field, paranormal field, paranormal investigations. They have like 3 or 4 so-called experts. And they'll give their opinion of whether it's true or not. And, you know, they'll just, you know, question what's going on and if it's true or not and that kind of thing and what you can do and blah, blah, blah. But it's quite interesting. They went from Bigfoot to, you know, from UFOs to hauntings and things like that. It was quite interesting. You'll have to check it out. It's called Paranormal Caught on Tape, Real or
Cool.
Not.
Yeah, I'll check that out. I've been watching a paranormal show, too.
With your skeptical mind, you can look at it and say, what are the possibilities? I like to get your feedback into different things that they talk about. And these are like you and I. People will go and submit, hey, if you have any photos that, you know, footage that you might be interested in having us look at and having us evaluate, submit them to us, tell your story, and we'll put it on. You might be selected on Paranormal Caught on Tape. So it's quite interesting. Some of it could be true. Some of it may be real. I have no idea. But I would not discount it either way, you know, would not.
So I've been watching a paranormal show, too. It's with Amy Allen. I can't remember the name of it, you know.
Oh, yeah,
I don't usually watch paranormal. No, sorry, not Amy Allen, the other one, Amy Brunei. Amy Brunei, that's the one.
Which
it's kind
one
of a
is
ghost
that
of Venice
one? I might have
show.
Watched that one. What was it?
I can't remember the name of it. It's Amy Brunei and this other guy, and they do paranormal investigations. It wasn't as entertaining as the other paranormal show I was watching, which was the one with Ralph Sarchi. He was the movie Deliver Us from Evil. He was a New York detective, and he goes out just to hunt and provoke demons. And that is really entertaining because that guy's got quite a personality. And he basically just goes to houses that purported to have demons. That was entertaining. But the other paranormal thing that I kind of got into this week was I learned about this app on your phone called Nextdoor, where, you know, people within your community post and sell stuff and have conversations about what's going on in your community. So I started a paranormal group. I just called it Paranormal Experiences, seeing if that generated any interest or any discussions. And a lady joined it, and she was writing posts about how she lives in an apartment. It's really haunted. They see ghost figures, this and that. And she eventually sends me a link to YouTube of capturing a shadow figure. And so I click the link, and I'm watching it. I watch it two or three times, and I'm like, this is absolutely – this is one of those situations where it's not paranormal. It's clear. There's no questionability with it. This is absolutely not paranormal. And I was trying to think how to tell her that, so I typed the response. And the reason I didn't think it was – well, I know it's not paranormal – is it was a camera that was set up, I believe, in her kid's room, and she was claiming to see shadow figures and this and that. And the video she submitted was this shadow figure. So I'm looking at it, and I'm watching it, and I see movement on the right side of the screen, and then this thing crosses the lens. It is clearly and absolutely an ant. It is right on the lens, and I can totally tell it's an ant. It was kind of fingering at the edge there with its tentacles, and then it walks across the lens. And I was like, oh, God, how do you tell somebody it's not paranormal? It's clearly a bug. It's an ant. I know it's an ant because I could tell by the shape. But, yeah, so, I think some people are so desperate to believe, but you always got to scrutinize things. You got to start with other things before assuming it's paranormal. And in that case, it clearly was not paranormal.
Right. And I think that, you know, you don't want to, you don't want to be rude about it, but I think, to me, honesty is the best policy. It looks like to me, you know, not judging or anything, but to me as an investigator, because you've been an investigator in many forms, but as a prior investigator, I do not really feel, thank you for submitting this and sharing that, but I do not feel that this is a real, you know, shadow figure because blah, 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 blah. Now, whether she takes it or not, that's a different story, but I think that you, with your experience and you feel you know that it was an aunt, you might want to tell her. Unless it doesn't really make a difference and she can go on and believe all kinds of things, so I call paradelia, make something of something that's not, you know. But I think that honestly, I think honesty is very tactfully would be more advantageous for her to know. How is she supposed to learn? You know what I mean? In a way, if you don't tell her, how is she going to learn to look out for something like that or be, you know, taught what to look out for?
I was kind of leery on responding to it because I know how a lot of people in the paranormal are. If you try and tell them it's not paranormal, you know, they get butt hurt and you don't know what you're talking about. And it's like,
oh,
but
really?
I also understand what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, paranormal people are, yeah. They can be difficult. But, you know, you never want to burst somebody's bubble. And a lot of people out there like the paranormal activity that happens in their house. Not everyone, but, you know, they have it ingrained in their mind that it's ghosts or whatever. It's their long-lost aunt. When it's their aunt, get it? Aunt.
Like, that's funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it can happen. I want to know, you know, when I have a photo, if I've taken some shots and things like that, and I want to be objective as possible. And so, you know, when you have that objectivity, it's being able to see that diamond in different facets. So, you know, stepping outside our own ego and saying, okay, is this possibly something that is there or it could be something that I'm just making up?
I watch these ghost shows and they break out the spirit box, which scans various radio frequencies. So it's scanning through all the radio stations out there. And I just, why is that even a piece of evidence? Like, it's going to say stuff because it's scanning through radio stations. And people, I mean, they swear by it, but I'm just like, that shouldn't even be a tool for paranormal investigators. It's going to kick out words, and some of those times, those words are going to seem to be relevant. when, you know, get a box that doesn't scan through radio frequency. Get a, how about just a white noise machine that doesn't say words? And if it starts talking, then you know you got a ghost.
Oh, my gosh. Well, these, you know, paranormal shows is really interesting. I'm just kind of looking at things that are just kind of objectively, and it's like, wow, they're pretty dramatic. Some of them are really, really dramatic, you know. But I have to say, you know, we've had two guests that have been on Ghost Adventures, Brian Ouellette. I'm trying to get him back on, especially on my radio show. I'd like to have him back on Paranormal Horizons also, too. But Brian Ouellette is one of them. He's the bishop for Zach Bagans on Ghost Adventures, and also June Lindgren, who is a colleague and a friend of mine. I respect her very highly. And, you know, I like their approach in looking at things, and, you know, they can be very objective. So, but they also have their own gifts, so it's wonderful.
Yeah, I actually like Ghost Adventures. I think it's more entertainment than anything else, but that probably is my favorite show. I don't watch it very often, but I did also rent a couple episodes. I rented the one the other day for that Enchanted Forest, that amusement park creepy place in Oregon.
Yes.
And it's kind of fun to watch. So my hand this week has been in the paranormal more than usual, because normally I completely stay out of it. But, you know, watching those shows and then doing that app thing and all that. So, it's been a paranormal week.
You and me both, Jason. I mean, after I'm done with my last reading, and then after I'm done with rejewelry or something, I'll just kind of zone out, and next thing I know, I'm looking at Amy Allen, a couple shows on her. She's a good medium, too. She's a physical medium. So it's really interesting that she can feel the passing. It's really kind of dangerous in what she does, because she can actually feel with the victims what they've gone through, whether, you know, gunshot wounds and things like that. She can get really sick. So, yeah, it's just I've been doing that, too. You and I are on the same page.
Well, I did want to – one of the things, since we kind of bounce around a lot and talk about different subjects, I was curious, and I wanted to look up some unusual news stories, not necessarily paranormal. And so I came across one I thought was interesting. Have you ever just – gotten crazy, like lost your mind and done something crazy that you normally wouldn't do?
Yes, I have.
I know I have, like, wanted to, and I've been inclined to do something crazy, but I usually don't. Woman in Britain went on a rampage in a supermarket, one of the Aldi supermarkets. That's a big chain over there. I think they may even have them in the U.S. Well, she went completely berserk on a booze-related rampage, smashing hundreds of bottles of wine and spirits, and she broke 500 bottles of alcohol that cost around $130,000. She just went completely bonkers in this store. And I thought that was interesting. I think in the world we live in, with COVID and the stress of work and everything else, and people are crazy, you know, every once in a while somebody snaps, and this lady snapped to the tune of $130,000.
Wow. That's a lot.
I think we've all wanted to snap. Like, I know I've been close, and you know, it's another good recent example. And this is a fascinating story. In fact, I was just watching a YouTube video on it. I may have mentioned this before on the show a while back, but do you remember up in Seattle a couple of years ago where that guy stole that airplane?
Yes, I heard about that, but I don't know what the details are. I kind of heard about it, but like I said, I don't know the details.
So this guy was a ground crew worker up at SeaTac for Horizon Air, I think, or Alaska, one of those things. And here's a guy, he's not a pilot in the least, you know, but he plays video games. So he has access to the plane because he's ground crew. He gets in it, fires this up. This is a Bombardier Q400. I don't know how many it seats. I think 40 to 50 passengers. It's two props. It's not like a small single-engine Cessna. I mean, this is a sizable plane. It's not as big as like a 737, but it's you know, it's a big passenger plane. He takes off from the airport, unauthorized departure, and he's talking to the traffic control, and he just, you know, they're trying to get him to land at the Air Force base, and he's like, oh, I'm not really wasn't planning on landing. And so he takes this plane over the water and he starts doing acrobats with it, like barrel rolls in a passenger plane. And surprisingly, he doesn't crash. And so he's doing that. And this guy had absolutely no intention of ever coming back alive. So he ends up just, you know, once he gets done, he's running out of fuel. He just drills it into one of the islands out there and dies. I assume it was suicide because he was actually flying the plane pretty well. I don't think he knew how to land, but anyway, it's interesting. Just another example of people snapping, you know, it's crazy.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't do those things like that. And as a matter of fact, when I've done them when I was young, you know, in my teenage years, but not now. Now that since, you know, I've had kids and now being grandparent, that on those days are gone. Those days are way gone. But yeah, so what do you think about? Let me ask you. I haven't been up to date, Jason. What do you think about the COVID? Now I don't know if your listeners know that Jason and I are from Oregon, and I don't know about your state and how it's affecting you guys, but we are right now not on really lockdown, but we're on almost. I don't know. We're on what? The first stage where they went back? No, well, not quite first stage, but they're between one and two, right?
Well, where I live in Multnomah County, it's 4 weeks of pretty much lockdown, work from home if possible, you know, no restaurants, no bars, nothing like that. And I'm starting to get concerned that when this vaccine comes out, in fact, I was just reading some stories about an hour ago before the show, that I'm wondering if it's going to get to a point where they're going to make it mandatory to get vaccinated for everybody that lives in the country. But I'm also at a double risk because the organization that I work for could, because I work in healthcare, could also mandate it. So I'm like, what am I going to do if they start shoving this vaccination down my throat? I don't want it.
Yeah, I know. There's two sides, and it's interesting because, you know, you get one side of one side of people that, oh, yeah, get a vaccine. You know, they think that, you know, just like a flu, they get this vaccine, they're absolved for any type of COVID. But, you know, my husband, he's a, you know, he reads a lot and everything. And the thing is, he said there's so many different kinds of strains of COVID just because they're vaccinated in one, you know, for COVID-19 or COVID-20. Are you... You know, whatever strain comes up, are you resistant to that other strain that comes up? So, you know, those are the questions. You have to think about doing your research and really looking at what is the risk and what are you putting your body, what's really in the vaccine and how long have they had, you know, the trials. There's so many different questions about getting a vaccine. So you really got to do your research and not be just somebody says, yeah, you got to take the vaccine, that's going to be good. But you got to find out what, you know, I also heard, too, that when you do take the vaccine, if you take the risk of any type of side effects. The company that issues the vaccine, whether they issue it or they make it, they absolve any type of liability. So let's say, Jason, there's a vaccine out. You're a healthcare worker, you're a frontline worker. You need to take the vaccine. You take the vaccine, but you come down with, you know, like hepatitis or something. You can't come back or blindness or something. You can't come back at the person who gave you the vaccine and sue them. That's part of the thing. You can't go back and no, there's no repercussions if you end up having problems. So I don't know. I have no idea. Just do your research. Take care of your body. Yeah, think for yourself.
I don't trust the government. I don't trust Big Pharma. I don't trust any of that. And do I think that they have our best interest in mind? Maybe, but that's also big money. I mean, this is money, and money is going to motivate people. It's going to motivate politicians and corporations. And let's just assume for a second that the government and big pharma has our best interests in. This is to save our lives. Yeah, there'll be some side effects. Even in that case, would I want to take it knowing that it's being rushed through the trials process? Hell no. You know?
Yeah, that concerns me too, honestly. You and me, that's one thing, Jason. You and I are pretty much on the same page together in a lot of things. I feel the same way as you do. Exactly. Exactly. And for those reasons, too. You know, I question when they're, you know, you don't even have a year under your belt and they're trying to rush. And what about mandatory? You know, they were talking about the frontline workers. The healthcare essential workers are the first ones that are going to be the ones that are going to have the first chance of getting the vaccines. Well, I don't know. Are they going to get picked off first? I don't know. You know, those are the things. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know.
Let's look for a second at a lot of people believe, and I don't know that I believe this, but I'm just saying this, is that the powers that be want to reduce the population because the earth is getting overpopulated. We're losing too many resources. What better way would there be to mandate a vaccine to reduce, you know, the population? I mean, who knows? And you can look at it and say, ha-ha, there's no way the government would do that. Look back 40 or 50 years what this government has done with testing people unauthorized. And so it's not a new thing for the government to do shady stuff, giving people stuff that they're not agreeing to. It's, I don't know. It might be kind of a stretch
out there. Out of the
health
of other people, out of the health of you know, the population, that's not a good thing. You know, the government should be looking for us, looking for the well-being and the welfare of their people, but it's all about, like you said, it's all about the money and how much money and, you know, it's like big corporations, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, as a little bit of an example, I think I've said this on radio, tell me if I'm repeating myself, please, but I'm going to say that, you know, Frontier, when they came out, they stressed on really customer service. And towards the end, before they got bought up, thank goodness they got bought out in the Pacific Northwest. But before they got bought out, I was not happy with them. I would honestly rate Frontier from a 0 to 5. 5 star is immaculate, 5 star service. I'd say barely a 1. Terrible. The only thing I have something good to say is the people, the guys that came out, their tech guys, I would say 2 out of 3 were awesome. They deserved a raise. I mean, whatever they could. Awesome. Absolutely. But as far as their customer service, they were really bad. They were not even a 1. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So when you look at a big corporation, when they got too big, they don't care about anybody. They just care about the money, and they don't care whether you're happy or not.
Yeah, as long as you get a paycheck. Now, I've had Frontier before, and I wouldn't say it was terrible, but it was just okay.
I was out of service for 12 days, and, you know, you would think, I missed business calls, and you would think that they would help me say, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry, you lost work out of it. How about if we give you a couple months voucher, you know, a couple months of free internet and phone service or, you know, a couple $100 or something. No, you know what they gave us for the 12 days we were service, even despite that, you know, I lost money from work. They gave us like $12 and some change. That's about it. That's all they would be willing to. I'm sorry, I can't do anything else for you. That was it.
It's like insurance companies. They just want to take your monthly payment, but if something happens, they don't want to pay out.
Exactly.
They'll go out of their way.
Yep. Exactly. They've gotten too big. Just like you said, the pharmaceuticals, all those big companies, they've gotten way too big. Maybe if they take away all the insurance companies, and go way back to basics. You know, like if you had to go to the doctor, you would go and talk to the doctor and make arrangements on making payments themselves and having the insurance company go and charge absorbently amount of money that you can't even pay. You're working a whole day's worth of wages, so just that you're paying for his fee for 1 hour. That's ridiculous.
The way things are built here in the United States is just ridiculous. You can't go to an ER and have a bill less than $2,000. That's for like an X-ray and blood work. It's like $3,000. I mean, it's so outrageous. Everything's just about the bottom line. And even these large nonprofit healthcare systems, you have to wonder if it's not about the money as well. You know, it's just, I can't take it anymore.
So the healthcare is nonprofit. If it's so-called nonprofit, are they a little bit more lenient with people that can't pay or don't have insurance?
Well, they supposedly donate a lot of money to causes, and yes, usually every healthcare system, nonprofit or not, has some program or some way to you can pay less money. But there's a lot of hoops you got to go through. You just can't call and say, I can't afford to do this. You know, it's like proof of income and this and that. They've got to, you know, it's a big bureaucratic process.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I mean, if you're a sickly person in the U.S., I mean, you're kind of screwed. I mean, if you need a lot of medical care, you're kind of screwed. And it's just kind of the way it is.
That's terrible. Wow. Well, I was just looking just now on Oregon Live, and they're looking at a two-week span, okay, literally a two-week span. Multnomah County has 648 cases that in your county, 648 cases of positive tests. I don't know if that's true or not. And in the county I'm at, it's 206. So when you look at it, it's like, oh, wow, that's a lot. But, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, is that really true? Or I don't know, you know. I don't know what, you know, just because you read it doesn't mean it makes it so, right?
Absolutely. Don't trust everything you read. You know, when you start talking about large corporations, these news agencies, their parent companies are large corporations. So they can say whatever, you know. I'm not saying that it's not true, but I'm just saying don't believe everything you read because everybody has an agenda. These corporations have an agenda, these news agencies, politicians, and I just don't trust that they have our best interests in mind all the time.
Right. Well, do you remember the days of Walter Cronkite talking about news?
Oh, yeah, I remember Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, those are news that, you know, kind of different type of news. You know, they're not so jaded, and they give you information, but you have to make a choice of whether it's, oh, wow, that's interesting, and then you go from there. Where a lot of these newscasters, they're very, can be very slanted in making you feel one way or another.
I would say, you know, when you watch the news, the only thing you can sort of trust is the weather, and that's not even 100%.
That's true. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you see, Jason, I got to ask you this, because I don't have the door open. I'm not reading. I'm a normal person. But do you see this... the lockdown or the restrictions going to ease up after the first of the year, or do you think it's going to go on till next year? What's your thought?
This isn't going to end anytime soon. My prediction is that this is going to probably go an additional year at least. There's no scenario where this is going to go away soon. This is going to be the new norm for at least another year, possibly even two. Which kind of sucks because the longer this goes on, the more businesses are going under. Restaurants may be a thing of the past when this is all said and done. And there's just going to be a ton of people out of work, and it's going to be a nightmare. Eventually, it will get to a boiling point where I think you'll start seeing rioting and, you know, blatant disregard for whatever rules the government comes out with. And some places are saying that they won't enforce, you know, social gatherings that exceed whatever the determined amount is. But there's, you know, it's going to get crazy. This is just, personally, I think this thing just needs to run its course. You know, if everybody followed the restrictions to a T, yes, it would be over a lot quicker. But the problem is we as humans are stubborn, and that's not going to happen. This is just slowing everything down. This is not going to be done soon. And in terms of mandatory vaccinations, I believe I just read that mandatory vaccinations have passed. I want to say San Francisco or somewhere in California, they voted to do it. But whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. We are living in very scary times right now, and this all is just going to get worse. This is just the tip of the iceberg. So my recommendation is stock up on food, because when everything crashes, you want to be prepared.
You and I are on the same page. That's what I was thinking. You and I are on the same line. I was thinking about the same thing, you know, and that's just my thing, just on the take of it, just right on the cuff. This is not going to just be over, you know, over and gone with. This is probably another year, if not 2 years. Absolutely. You and I are on the same page. Exactly. Yep. Yep, it's just sad because, you know, even if they're going to make you believe, oh, the incidents are down and everything, you know, yeah, maybe, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And I think that mandatory vaccination is something that is against your constitutional rights? I have no idea. You know, you have to think about that and do your research. But you do have a right with your own body, what to take and when to take it and that kind of thing. I really do. Should be, you know, free health care and free education. That's what I said a long time ago, and I'm still standing by that. We as human beings should be, you know, be able to have that right of being able to have, you know, be born and to die and have health care taken care of than just, you know, adding that stress of, you know, trying to pay our bills of, you know, that kind of thing. It's ridiculous. Education should be free, too.
Well, unfortunately, this country is more concerned with military action and throwing tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars into the industrial military complex to create the greatest and most advanced weapons to kill other people. So, yeah, and that's not going to change. Nothing's going to change. This is just a backwards system. It's less about the people and more about, you know, basically killing other people, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there's too many issues, way too many issues, you know, and they're pinging on a lot of rights. You know, look at the pipeline. That's another issue we could talk about, too. It's like the pipeline down in North Dakota? You know, they're trying to preserve the ancient sacred lands of the native indigenous people, and they're trying to build the pipeline. That's another issue I have a problem with. So,
yeah, you know, this is what happens. The white man, such as myself, because I'm about the most northern European DNA person ever, comes in here and throws the indigenous population into reservations. And then, you know, down the line when they realize those reservations have some sort of resource, you know, they come in and take it away. I mean, it's crazy. People are crazy.
Yeah, they have every right. I mean, they have more of a right than we do. They've been in here and they've suffered so much. And I'm not saying that all of them are good. There's always good and bad in every race. This is not a racist thing. I'm just saying that when you're trying to build a pipeline under the pretenses of taking other people's land and not looking at the sacredness and the respect and the honor of those people that have gone before them, man, you're crossing some boundaries, you know. You wonder why. There's a lot of paranormal activity that can be going on afterwards with these people, whether they follow them home or they can be in the land or whatever. I know, you know, there's so many different layers, but it's just crazy. Absolutely. And the Native Americans, the indigenous people, the population, they're just sticking up for what they feel is right. And a lot of it's been taken from them. But they're just preserving what's left of what they have. That's what they're doing. And they want respect. They want them, you know, they want people to honor their ancestors. It's just a basic rule. You know, treat people as you want to be treated. That's all.
There was some weird interference for a little bit there when you were talking, and I could almost hear somebody else's voice. So I'm pretty sure the government, the National Security Agency, CIA are probably listening into this podcast. At least I've convinced myself of that.
Well, we're talking about for everybody's good. You know, I'm not going against government. Can be good, but what's their intention? That's the whole thing. You know, we have government. They could be for us and for the people, but if they're just for themselves, that's the whole, what is their intention? That's the point. Are they trying to ruin the people and trying to hurt the people? What is their intention?
And originally when it was created, I think it was like that. But now it's about large corporations, money, power, and that. And I'm not convinced that, you know, all the decisions that are made are in the best interest of the people. Clearly, they're not all. I mean, some of the stuff that goes on, they're probably going to assassinate me now. So if I, like, disappeared or died in a weird way.
Oh, you're
going to
be okay, Jason. You're protected. Don't worry about it. Don't get paranoid.
I have a propensity for paranoia, let me tell you.
You could be aware, but just, you know, and if you're doing the right thing and your intentions are, which I know your intentions are good, you should be okay. You know, you're going to be okay. You know, you're going to be protected. But the thing is, it's just being aware. That's all it is. And we're not, like you said, I mean, we're just trying to cut the fat, let's put it that way. Look at it this way, all these people that get really greedy and you know, really trying to hurt people and everything, you know, in their last breath, when it literally really comes down to it, money's not going to be their problem. Money's going to be I think to me it'd be, how much was I loved? How much of an impact did I have? What could I have done to make this world a better place? You know, are people going to be okay, you know, after me? You know, and you're not going to worry about your possessions because you're born into this world with no possessions. You leave out of this world with no possessions. But what you do have are your memories and the things that you leave behind that cannot be bought. Priceless, you know? Hey, integrity, you know, love, humility, those kind of things, those cannot be bought. So that's what I see in the whole picture. I want to leave knowing that I add value to other people's lives.
I just want a pony before I die.
Okay.
Probably not going to happen.
But at least we're aware of it, and, you know, we can just, you know, I just want to kind of stay small in my own little world in a way that, you know, I don't want to be out like a stick out like a sore thumb, but when it comes to my business, I want to have as much positive impact as much as possible, you know, being accurate, you know, adding joy, adding, you know, love, adding some healing, you know, possible closure, those kind of things for the people I work with. That's why I love my job so much, is because I love what I do.
And especially now with what's going on, and there's so many people, especially, I'm repeating myself now, that are disadvantaged disadvantaged because of what's going on with COVID and people losing their incomes and losing their businesses. So especially now, we need to make an extra effort to share compassion and help people whenever possible, and it doesn't necessarily have to be money. Even kind words has more power than money, and we need to stick together and help each other out. And, you know, we'll get through this regardless of what the intentions of Big Pharma are, whatever else we're talking about. you know, it's not going to wipe us out completely. And we have to go on, and hopefully we can pull together and change our consciousness to be more positive and to be more loving to our fellow humans.
Yeah, and I really feel sorry for the businesses. Oh, my gosh, these people that are in business for so long, a lot of these restaurants, what are they going to do? How can they survive on maybe 25% or 50% on capacity? I don't understand how they can do that.
Well, they can't, and they're going out of business at an alarming rate. This next lockdown is really going to – I mean, some barely made it through the last time up here in Oregon where we locked down, and a lot of them aren't going to make it this second time, and there's plenty of stories on the news about businesses that are just like, we can't survive it again, so we're going to go under. But, of course, with the duality of everything in this universe, apples and oranges – I don't know if that's duality or not, but positive and negative – and some companies are flourishing like Amazon while all the mom and pop shops are going down. And that's probably the future that we're looking at. You know, there'll probably be a few large companies that supply everything to us. Now, that's actually, it's kind of scary thinking about that.
Wow. Well, yeah, you said Amazon, a Walmart. I was reading the same thing, too. I think the big box stores, Amazon, Walmart, and something else was there. Was it Home Depot or something else? Yeah, you're right. Those two are the ones that are really capitalizing during this time. Their sales have gone up like 80% or so. I'm not sure exactly, but it's 80-something, above 80%.
Yeah, my Amazon package just arrived. I love Amazon. I mean, I rap on large corporations, but I have to admit Amazon's pretty dang convenient, provided that your package doesn't get stolen.
It doesn't get what, stolen, you said?
Yeah, stolen.
Oh, did you get packages stolen before?
I've had them stolen before. Not where I'm living now, but in the past. You know, that's just the nature of doing business. It's the hard times. People are desperate. People are addicted to narcotics and have to get a fix. And some people just generally don't care about other people. So
that's never gonna
go away.
That's awful. That's terrible. Wow. Jeez.
You're
in Multnomah County. You guys got a 4-week lockdown. We were supposed to be a 2-week lockdown, but it looks like, when I'm reading this, it looks like they're going to be the same. They're not gonna let it out. The only thing that's gonna be different is the bars. The bars and restaurants are in the larger religious institutions will be able to go and be a little bit lighter as far as how many people can go in. You know, they're going to go outdoor dining. You can do outdoor dining. And there's been some people that are really upset because it's against our constitutional rights. It's against our constitutional rights. So that might be something you might want to look at.
Well, I don't agree with the powers that the governor allegedly has. I mean, but apparently it's legal. I don't know. I'm not a law person, so I don't know what's legal and what's not. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the way things are being handled.
And I've been bodybuilding. It says the gyms will be allowed to lead outdoor fitness activities. Capacity will be limited to 50 outdoors per establishment. So that means you cannot do anything indoors. Not indoors, but outdoors you can go up to 50 people. Well, what are you going to do? Go in the parking lot and go and do chest presses or I mean, that's ridiculous. That is just insane.
The outdoor thing is kind of a joke because, first of all, businesses won't be able to survive on outdoor business. And we're going into the winter. And you could put up all the rain shades and stuff like that. Nobody's going to want to sit and eat their pizza in pouring rain and 40-degree temperature. It's just...
Yeah, why do they want to be in a big tent with a bunch of heaters and feel like they're freezing? I mean, who wants to enjoy something like that? And now your capacity for grocery stores, retail stores, and malls, not at 75% capacity, whereas now they're going to go down this coming Wednesday down to 50% capacity. I'm just reading it right now as we're saying. Yeah, isn't it crazy? Oh, my God.
If you have the extra funds to stock up on food, you should do that. At least get 2 weeks' worth of food. I don't worry about stocking up on water because we live in the Northwest, but you should definitely have enough food to get by because this is, like I said earlier, the tip of the iceberg. Things are going to get worse, and it wouldn't surprise me if at some point everything gets, like, completely locked down, like grocery stores, delivery only, or... the government dispersing food, who knows what's going to happen. But it ain't going to get better by tomorrow, that's for sure.
No, it isn't. No, we're in level 3 out of 4. It's getting bad. We're in the high risk. You and I are in the high risk category right now. And with everything, if they go into number 4, that's when they lock everything down. Everything is locked down like we started, in March. But, yeah, we're in category 4. That's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. And I feel sad for people that are, have the COVID and everything. It's like the flu or anything. Who wants to be sick, but you don't want to spread? And if you're not, and another thing, too, if you're feeling ill, you get the sniffles, be honest and tell people. Don't be going out to the stores. Don't be exposing people, Just stay home. Have somebody else go do your grocery shopping.
Wear a mask. Well, we're about out of time, Sherry, and I got a steak, and I'm going to cook some potatoes because I've got my appetite back. So I think it's about my dinner time.
Oh, my God. That's great. Hey, I had steak tonight, too, Jason. Oh, my God.
Nice.
All right, but I didn't have potatoes. I end up having – me being Vietnamese, I end up having – I had Vietnamese noodles. I end up making Vietnamese noodles tonight.
So check this out. This is my new thing because I'm trying to eat healthier because of my liver. I've really gotten into this. So I can't remember what's it's jasmine rice, and then I cut vegetables on it, and usually maybe some salmon or some shrimp or whatever on it, and then I have fish sauce and then also spicy mayo. That's so good. So you fish, vegetables, and rice with spiced mayo. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, God, that sounds good. Oh, my gosh. That is really good. The spicy, is it like the, what do you call that? What do you call that? Not the sriracha mayo, but it's that chipotle mayonnaise, right?
The one I have is actually it's sriracha mayo. And it's just, I know it's not terribly healthy, but... I figure I'm compensating with vegetables. Yeah, that's so good.
Oh, that sounds so good. And you put fish sauce? That sounds like a good combination. Wow.
I like fish sauce because it's kind of sweet. It's fishy, but I like it. So, yeah, it
me
just
too.
Makes the rice less boring. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. Okay. Hey, Jason, we got to go. Love you. I've got to tell everybody thank you so much.
All right.
So,
everybody have a good night.
Yeah, supporting Paranormal Horizons. We'll see you next week at 7 o'clock.
See everybody next week, and good night, everyone. Have a safe week.
Take care. Peace, everybody.